Hi, Mike Rossi here from Buddies in Space. I was a little torn on whether to air this podcast episode or not. Sadly, we picked up some bad audio, so every time we talk, it sounds like a snare drum is being rattled in the background by our voices. That being said, this is a pretty interesting episode, so I'm going to air it despite the audio issue. In it, I talk about the mess that is my father's death, trying to find humor where we can, and Smike provides one last box of random detritus from his childhood for us to explore, and it even ties back to a previous episode. All in all, it starts heavy, but then, hey, goodies! If you can't stand to listen to it, then, well, I'm sorry. Needless to say, I need to start doing sound checks again. Now, onward to Buddies in Space Podcast Episode 22, Tasmanian Devil Face Cancer. Should probably just do a reverb there, huh? Now we are recording.
Okay.
Now all of your little bits.
Nah, I forgot them all already.
What were we even talking about? Spiderwebs and the viewing angle.
Yeah, you got spiderweb in here. It's okay.
It's nowhere near.
Like my grandmother used to say, a cobweb means somebody's not good at cleaning. A spider web means there's a spider loose in the house, and there's a big difference between the two.
But doesn't a cobweb mean that a spider used to be? Okay. I'm just making sure.
You know. Just
make sure I got it.
It's an old... She probably said it in a funnier way than I did, but it was meant to be humorous.
Way of, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did seem kind of judgmental.
Yeah. That's it. Grandma humor.
Grandma, for all the grandmas out there listening to our podcast, this one's for you.
Oh, that is strong.
I'm telling you though, this could be a huge hit at like a hipster bar.
Especially when you start saying like lavender chai infused.
First of all, you missed the primo chance to use the word artisanal.
Okay, yeah.
It is imported.
Yes.
Artisanal. Lavender and chai infused Canadian maple syrup.
Ah, yes.
And dark spiced rum.
Nice.
Ah, nice.
It is pretty good.
It's really good. But you're right, it's very strong. It's primarily...
We tried it with the white rum. Mm-hmm. It just didn't really work. Nah.
No, and I took a tiny sip of a little taste of the maple syrup before you got here, and I was like, yeah, I think it's going to be a dark spiced rum. This is the last of the Kraken, finally.
Oh!
It's treated us
well. Farewell, Kraken.
We're slowly whittling my bar down. It has been released. Oh, okay, I know you're going with that.
No, okay.
Sorry.
Too obvious?
Yes.
Edit that out.
Sure, I'll get right on that.
So, what's up?
My dad died.
Laughter would not normally be the appropriate response to that. But in this case,
it's the delivery had something to do with it.
Yes, it's something that we've discussed a bit.
Just a tad.
So
yes.
I know that my laughing is not really upsetting you about that.
Not in the least. No, I am not taking time off of work. I'm not upset in any way. Just to touch on it quickly, because I haven't really told me anything.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
No, I know, but I figured if we get it out of the way, and then it's not a...
All right.
You know, is he going to bring it up kind of thing?
Yeah. It's not something that happens every day.
Thankfully, no. To me, it happened about 10, maybe 8 years ago. So,
yeah.
You know, he's been dead to me for a long time. I didn't have a great relationship with my father. That makes me sound like a monster, but...
No, that doesn't.
His death had no effect on me. That makes me sound like a monster, but... You know, yeah. he wasn't a great guy. This is not a shitty father's podcast, but he really fucked my family up good, and we got along without him just fine. My mom's my hero for removing him from our lives, and he left many moons ago, about 15 years ago, for Nashville, and I saw him one more time since then, and he said something that was the final straw for me, which is good, and that was it. So I got a call last week that he had passed. And no one wants to do anything about his funeral, so it's fallen to me, ironically, to foot the bill to get him cremated. and do all these estate-related things. Estate's a very generous term. Just find his wallet, because he was, according to the detective, he was just such a pig that they couldn't find his license. So
it took meaning them. His apartment is just a wreck.
Just a wreck, yeah.
Not that somebody's wrecked it. He's just, that's just the way he lived.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was always like that.
Yeah.
But he drove for Uber, so I'm guessing his car is clean. But my brother-in-law is going to go check everything out once. It is a comedy of errors, though. Like, it is actually legitimately funny. There's so many ridiculous things. I got stuck in this Orwellian nightmare. We're trying to get him buried through this local program for indigents, for impoverished folks.
Right.
Because really, when you have a textbook abusive father, you probably shouldn't have to pay for him to, you know, be buried. Really,
you certainly don't want to.
Certainly don't want to. Of course, I'm going to get him cremated and pay for it, but regardless. So we wanted to get him buried through this program, and basically, it is literally an Orwellian nightmare. So I needed to be able to show that his Social Security was X amount of money to Social Services.
Yes.
So I had to go to Social Security, and they said, we will do that if you show us the death certificate.
Right.
The original.
You need the original death certificate.
Original death certificate. Okay. So I went to the medical examiner, as is his body, and they said, we will not give the death certificate to anyone but a funeral director. And to do that, you have to have his body moved to a funeral home. At which point Social Services said, the minute you remove the body from the medical examiner's office, you can no longer be in the indigent burial program. And I'm like, literally, I said to them, I'm like, I'm not trying to be mean, but you recognize, she's like, I don't know what's going on. I've never dealt with this before. Like, no one's ever had this problem. So my guess is that the Rochester Social Security office, which are being dicks, and the Nashville office, who they know about this program, are probably much more laid back about it. Like, just show us a death letter from the medical examiner. We'll let you slide. Yeah, we're going to get him cremated. But then, like, it gets funnier. They couldn't find his license. They literally, it took them a week and a half to actually ID him.
Right. So they thought it would. They were pretty sure it was him, but they needed to be really sure.
They were
sure.
Pretty sure. Yeah. Like, it could have been one of those Bourne identity things where, like, he found a homeless person who looked like him and then, like, killed him and then is off in hiding. But no, it was my father. And in addition to that, we still haven't found any of his paperwork. Because the landlord, who seems like a really decent guy.
Yeah.
Hoffa, he seems like a very nice guy. He bought this little storefront that can convert it to 3 economy apartments, sight unseen as an investment from this old lady.
The irony of all this, well, not one of the many coincidences, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
Is that I used to live in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Loved the town. Great city. Had a good time there. One of my best friends there lives right in that neighborhood.
And is also a
landlord. But not the same guy.
You got really excited. He probably does.
They're probably like, they probably go to all the landlord hangouts together.
I assume there's a club.
So if you need any help with this, you know, let me know and I'll talk to my landlord guy.
I will let you know because I am having an issue, but it's not his fault. But so he bought this apartment building. It's a store. It was a little freestanding storefront. And he never had any keys. Only the tenants had the keys.
That doesn't seem like a good policy.
No. I just lay back about it. So, again, this whole thing is a comedy of errors, right? So he asked me, he's like, hey, by the way, can you ask the detective when you talk to him to get the keys back to the apartment? So I asked the detective, he's like, well, we lock the keys in the apartment. Because that's what we do. We're not leave the door unlocked. We don't lock it and take the keys with us. Why would we do that? So basically my brother-in-law, who also lives in Nashville, works 5 minutes from where my father passed his apartment, is all ready to go and help us.
But there's no key right now.
There's no key.
So they have to get a locksmith or something.
Exactly. So the landlord's like, well, I really don't want to break the door. And I'm like, I understand. But then he's having trouble getting a locksmith because, you know, locksmiths are one of those, like, plumbers are, like, kind of hard to get on your timetable.
Yeah.
So he's having a hard time, but he seems to be trying. So my poor brother-in-law is standing by, like, on the... Like, every time he has a day off, he's letting me know. And I'm like, I'll let you know. Don't make plans, but do, because I feel bad. And then the landlord's like, I can't get a hold of the locksmith. So by this coming week, I'm going to be like, dude, just fucking break the door down. Come on. Like, I'm trying to help you get the apartment cleaned out so you can turn it around.
Sure.
Like, and he's being good. He's like, you can keep the car here, because that's another thing I got to figure out where the
car is. So there's actually a nice car involved in all this.
It's like an 08 or 09 Jetta that the detective really seemed to like.
Yeah.
He was waxing poetic about this car.
Again, probably, like, in shock that somebody living in this
apartment had a car that was even halfway decent. Yeah. To be honest, I was shocked because I looked at the Google Street View.
Yeah.
I knew my father lived there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I saw, like, just a bunch of crappy cars. I'm like, oh, his must have been one of those cars. But I don't know how old the Street View was, so. But, so, yeah, we need to get in, and I'm literally going to tell my brother-in-law, just toss the place, like, a spy movie, because I don't know where my father would have hidden stuff, but we need, like, his wallet, yeah. So we can get his license. It's ridiculous, but...
And he died, I don't, did you mention this, he died of natural causes, it wasn't any...
There was no foul play, yeah. They did rule out foul play. He was not a healthy man, neither physically or mentally. But, yeah, they were, I think there was some hope amongst some parties that there... was something more interesting to it, but he passed in his sleep.
He didn't even leave you an interesting story.
No, nothing. He passed in his sleep from what the landlord told me, because he had more information than the police did for me. But yeah, and you know, I will say, if any of my family members listen to this and are horrified by all this, it's a sad end for anyone. It's a depressing story, but never have I known a person who you could usual suspect style chart the progression leading up to this point. Of how they ended up in that exact, you know, point in their life. So it's something that my family and I just want done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very new experience to me. And doing it from here, from, you know, Western New York State, it just makes it very difficult. Because everyone moves very slow in Nashville.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And no one wants to help me up here. So,
yeah.
But it could be worse. I could have to go down there, which, you know, would just be more insult to injury, having to spend money on that. But I'm very lucky to have a brother-in-law down there.
So. Yeah.
Hopefully in a couple of weeks it gets wrapped up to a point where the landlord's willing. He owns a bunch of properties. Like, just, you know, I had no problems with your father. I'm happy to just let you leave the car somewhere while you get the title thing worked out for a couple of months. So he was very cool about that. So just need to get into the apartment. But yeah, it's, and I'm not even saying all the crazy shit I keep finding out. Like, it just kept going. It's just unraveling a spool of, like, random shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Not even all that entertaining, though. It's just
it's
stupid.
It's bureaucratic, yeah. Red tape and stupid and depressing. And but you know what I will say has been great is my mother was the one who was most upset about it.
Mm-hmm. And, well, sure.
Well, and I was thinking about it, and I'm like, yeah, but he treated her really bad. And I was like, no, but she was of all of us, my brothers and her and I, she had the most positive influence from him in her life for the longest period of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there must have been something good there. It you know, at some time for her.
Yeah, when they were dating and early in their marriage, I think it was great. But you know, by the end, I'm not embarrassed by this, but like you have to understand that the guy was off his rocker. By the time, so he moved us. So my mother inherited a bunch of money. I'm just going to tell you this.
Okay.
I think it's interesting.
Sure.
When I say I grew up in cults,
I'm letting you roll, man.
All right. When I say that I grew up in cults, like, I met multiple cults, and it's all my father. So the whole thing with the way...
So he tried on different cults.
He wanted his own.
Oh, sure, yeah. You want to be the man...
We talked about this. He wanted to graduate up to the Koresh guy.
Yeah.
So...
It's the dream, right?
It is the dream. I mean, it's literally the dream. It's what you sit there and be like, oh, I just really want to fucking run a cult.
Yeah.
On a mountaintop. And he tried.
Yes.
My mother inherited money.
Have sex with as many women as I can.
Women, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we bought this 70-acre farm with all these old chicken coops that were all run down and wells all over the place. Really dangerous property. But and he used like a whole bunch of my mother's inheritance to buy it. And it totally backfired. Something about that house was magical. This was the haunted house I've told you about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be sitting in my room with five different doors, and like one door would open. It'd get really cold. Another door would open. It'd warm up. The first door would close. I'd just be sitting there like frozen solid, like no one believed me. But my mother woke up one day after almost 20 years of being like a good Christian Italian housewife. And if anyone knows, you know, is familiar with what that means, she woke up one day and just kicked him out, which is why she is my hero. It's amazing that she did that.
It really is, because people in that situation, I think maybe brainwashed is not a term that would be too light for that situation.
I studied our exact situation in college. That's why I took sociology.
Mm-hmm.
I specialized in single mother families. It was one of the like the sub genres of sociology we could study. And it was textbook. Religion, emotional abuse, big time, poverty. Poverty is a really popular choice to keep a family in line, you know.
So because there's no money for the other person to use to get out, is that...
Oh, yeah.
Is that it?
Oh, yeah. And I remember my mom tried once. Yeah. Also, well, also, it isolates. It's us against them, right? So it makes it easier to become very insular in a bad way. But the whole thing I'm leading up to is when my mother kicked him out, because the things he was saying by the end was he was very excitedly telling me about some blessed manure that came in a magic blessed shamanistic cow horn.
Did he trade the cow for this?
Well, he never had any cows.
Did he trade something for this because he was like hoping to grow a magic cow? I don't know.
What you did was you buried the magical cow manure horn facing like southeast, and it blessed an acre for incredible, fertility fertile ground. I'm not making this up.
I don't know how you could, honestly.
He told me some other weird shit, sexual in nature. By the time my mother kicked him out, he was trying to talk to the dead. He was actually turning to necromancy. His words.
It's a small step from magic shit to talking to the dead, I think.
As long as you're not sleeping with the dead. I don't think we ever got to that point.
Okay.
We did find a gravestone.
As far as you know.
We did find the gravestone in my basement.
Uh-huh.
I must have told you this. The cursed gravestone?
Well, I don't think you've told the audience in that case.
Oh, man. Hi, we are buddies in space, by the way.
Not usually talking about death, but here we are.
Yeah, we are starting out dark and heavy. It's only going to get lighter from here because Mike's got a box of some very interesting shit.
Yeah, anyway, this guy with the dead dad is M. Yeah. Eichel Karasi.
And this guy helping me unpack my my multiple layers is S. Michael Smith. Yeah, so I could have sworn, if I talk about this in a podcast, maybe I'll listen.
No, just edit it out.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go through 20 podcasts to find out if I did. We bought the house. It was an old farmhouse, very old, like 150 years old. Dirt basement. A stream ran through the basement.
And that's kind of cool. I don't know.
It was cool. It was like tons of botulism-filled jars of food in the basement.
That were there when you got there?
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Maurice, who was the ghost who haunted it.
Okay.
It was a farmer. He'd lived there for decades. When we bought the house...
And there was a running stream?
There was a stream that ran through the basement. Very, very small. Very
so I'm
triple.
Guessing it was a little humid.
A
dehumidifier is not going to really help with
the
that.
The dirt floor basement with the stream and the well in the basement? No. Just an open well. When we bought the house, the town council had to be involved. And they specifically told my parents they could not change the inside of the cabinets in my bedroom.
Why?
We don't know. There was a corner set of cabinets...
So you could not or would not?
Could not. We could not. It was like a thing that they said. You could not change the inner lining of the cabinets in the bedroom that became my bedroom. No idea to this day why that was. They were just wood paneling.
These cabinets cannot be changed.
Yes. They turned to limp penises in my hand, just like in John Dies at the End. But so I was 12 or 13. I was sitting in my bedroom. My bedroom was one of the many doors, and it opened to a hallway that immediately opened to the basement. So my parents hired a local football player.
I'm starting to see why House of Leaves was so engaging for you.
Fascinating to me, because it was just like being home again. So my father says to this guy, Bill, this kid, he goes, you know, Bill, in the winter, they would bury their relatives in the basement because of the permafrost, and they'd dig them up in the spring and, you know, give them a funeral. And I remember Bill being like, all right, Mr. I was right at I was at the top of the stairs. I could hear the whole conversation.
Yeah.
My parents go into town, so I'm just alone in the house. They take my younger brothers, and Bill comes flying up the stairs. He's a big football player, dude, and he's got, like, white face. And he goes, Mike, I just found a gravestone in your basement. And I'm like, all right, dude, I heard the conversation with my father. Ha ha. And he's like, no, I'm serious. And we go downstairs, and there's a cracked in half headstone for, like, a girl, Mary or something, who had died when she was 19.
Wow.
So we like dug it out of the dirt and we're brushing it off.
So you got like, you know, hot teenage ghost action here.
Well, she was a vengeful ghost.
Oh, that sucks.
Or my parents had really shitty cars, but it might have gone hand in hand because my parents got home and we told them and they were like, oh, we should, and I was like, we really should go to town hall and see if there's an unmarked grave that needs this headstone, right? It's our civic duty. So we put the headstone halves into a car, in one of the cars,
mm-hmm.
and it breaks down immediately. It would not start. So we're like, all right, well, we have to get the car fixed. So we took them out, left it on the lawn for like a month or two, did some stuff. And then I'm like, hey, remember the headstone? We really should do something with it. Put it back in the car. Car breaks down again. Remember, my father's already starting to be off his mind. So he doesn't say a word. He picks up the headstone halves, goes across the street to the neighbor's property and throws them in the weeds. And he's just like, we're never talking about this again. And that's how we got rid of the cursed headstones. They're probably still there. And that's my family history in a nutshell.
Nice.
And that's the depressing stuff. So I'm getting through it.
Yeah, working your way through.
I basically started in Evernote. I did. It got to the point where I was so, like, not emotionally stressed, just stressed by how many things were going wrong with the whole process, that I had to, like, take a step back and turn it into a work assignment. So I started a new Evernote page, and I just started project managing. I'm like, okay, who needs what documentation? Where do I get it? Okay, blocked. What action items do I have? That helped me a lot. And then I realized, like, this burial program isn't going to work. I'm just going to have to get them cremated. So I was like, erase.
Same. Yeah. Sorry.
Not that much, but.
Can't fight City Hall.
You really can't. Not when you're in another state. And it's your own City Hall you're fighting.
Yeah.
But it's been a learning experience. And then it'll be done. And this drink is really delicious.
It's tasty.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot slower drinking than that sake from last time.
Yes. Sake sneaks up on you.
It does.
It does, as I could tell from actually listening to that podcast.
I'm so excited. You never listen to the podcast where I hid something in it for you to find, but you listened to that one just to see how drunk you sounded.
And I did sound a bit...
Pretty drunk.
Yeah.
Okay. I really want someone to do the drinking game I suggested on the website and just drink every time I fuck up a word, because I was flubbing words by, like, the fifth cup.
You don't want to kill people, Mike.
Oh, that's a good point.
You could be liable for that.
Don't play that game. But do it. So how are you? I'm sorry. That was a long rant on my part.
No, I'm good. I'm all right. Got back from, we had a little vacation, went to Toronto.
Yeah.
One of our favorite cities.
Okay. It was a big vacation.
Okay.
And it's the first vacation you took in how many years?
Oh, a couple of years. I guess an update on my health situation for anybody who cares.
They are on the edge of their seats.
No, they're not.
At least one listener that I work with is obsessed with you. So.
Okay. That's freaking me out now.
It's a lady.
That's not better. Well, my wife's going to love to hear about that.
Your wife's going to love it.
Edit that out. Promise you'll edit that out.
I do not promise.
Okay. All right. Good. Good.
I said, I'm not going to.
Yeah. So I was having problems with my groinal area.
It's the region.
Yeah. Did some physical therapy, went and saw a specialist, had some tests done that were not all that fun.
Did they want to shoot your bone with a...
Okay, yeah. It turns out I've got something called impinging architecture in my hip.
Oh, that's... We don't know what the fuck we're talking about, itis.
Yeah.
Yeah,
apparently it's legit, and it's like... It just means that...
Your body is...
My hip is messed up.
That's a really unnecessary way of labeling that.
Yeah, so if I move my that joint, my leg in that joint a certain way, it hits, I guess, bone.
It's like bone grinding on bone?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know, but it can get inflamed easily. And
yeah, I bet.
Yeah. So I guess a number of things happened, and it kind of compounded, and it got inflamed, and it was like that was part of what was holding me up for a long time. And
okay.
And the special is like, you know what we should do is shoot you full of steroidal whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's...
Just put a needle right into your joint.
That's definitely what I would say would be
and
the thing you should do.
As fun as that sounded.
Just delightful.
I said, you know what? Can I just go back to the physical therapy guys for a little while with this information and, you know, see how that goes? Just on the off chance... That I can work through some of this.
Maybe.
Without shoving a needle into my groin.
Jesus Christ. That's terrible.
So I did that, and the physical therapy helped, long story short.
Did they have you in a pool?
Yeah, I was doing some water stuff for a little while, and then things were getting better, slowly,
good.
but they were getting better. And
this happened before, but this is much worse, right?
Yeah, it was worse this time. It happened like 5 or 6 years ago, and it took me a long time to recover then, but this time it was worse. But they gave me a bunch of exercises, and I've been doing, keeping up with the exercises.
Yoga?
I haven't progressed to yoga yet.
There's been a rumor amongst
the
circle.
Yeah, it's just a rumor. Our wives are doing yoga, and I think some of the exercises I was doing were reminiscent of some of the yoga poses
which
that my wife
by the,
knows
the game
now.
Of telephone from whatever you're doing to my ear was, Smike's wife gave him a long list of yoga exercises that he does daily, and it's what's working and making him better.
Yeah.
And
no.
You're like,
no,
that is in no way true.
Not at all. it got better, and I was in good enough shape a couple of weeks ago to actually go on our first vacation in a couple of years, and we went to Toronto, where we did an enormous amount of walking.
And an enormous amount of drinking.
Yes. A lot of walking, a lot of drinking, a lot of eating some fantastic food.
It's what you do in Toronto.
It is what you do, and it's what we do in Toronto.
It's what you guys do in Toronto. Yeah. Right? It's awesome, because we did it with you once, and it was an awesome trip.
I was thinking you guys were bored, because we weren't, like, going on to see a bunch of sites or anything. Just, like, wandering around.
Did we still live in New York City at that point, or did we just move up? No,
I think
we
moved back.
Yeah, we were over the needing to do the big city thing.
Okay, like, well, you know. Yeah, the wife and I, we... She went to school in Toronto. She went to University of Toronto, so it's like, you know, a lot of her old hangout area, and that's what we do. We go there. We try to go there like about once a year, and we just love walking around and seeing things and not having any particular schedule and just hanging out. And that's what we did, and I survived. The hip made it through the trip.
Did you prepare that in advance?
I did not.
Okay.
That was off the cuff.
It's good off the cuff, but if you were practicing that, then
no,
I'd have problems with it.
No, I didn't.
Okay, good. Promise. I believe you.
Okay.
Why is your drink shaking so much in your hand?
So that's that. And now I have this big box behind us here.
Yeah.
Should I get to the box?
Can I? May I, please?
Okay.
What's in the box?
You can actually see some of what's in the box.
I can, and it relates to earlier podcasts.
I am concerned that there might be a little too much overlap between some of this stuff and what we talked in our previous podcast.
We can gloss quickly.
But, then. Yeah, this is... I brought in the wallet, and then Mike brought in a box of stuff, and then so I had to bring a bigger box of stuff.
Yeah, you're totally one-upping my box, and this is
That's what I was going for.
A metal black powder
the
eagle.
The story behind the box here... is my parents moved around a few times. Yeah, it's meant to hang up on the wall.
No, it says Royal.
It does? Okay.
Yeah.
So what this box represents is my parents moved around. They had a bunch of my stuff that I'd left with them, various toys and sundry items. Yeah, like that. And they, I guess, got tired of storing this stuff for me. So, and they've also been through a couple, they lived in Florida for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, one of the houses they were in was hit by a hurricane.
Wow.
And so a lot of my stuff got just damaged beyond any sort of repair or recognition.
That sucks.
So a lot of my stuff has been thrown out. So this is kind of what remains more or less unscathed from all the stuff. From my past.
Well, this eagle looks like it could withstand multiple hurricanes.
Yeah, it's a big metal eagle. I used to have that up on my door.
I just
loved eagles when I was a kid. I was a huge fan of eagles.
I had a from a local arcade, the Dream Machine. I had a collection of. I used to trade all my tickets in for these like really cheap mass-produced ceramic eagles. I
still have one.
I used to hide money in it.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm with you.
So yeah, this is a nice eagle. It's
heavy.
It's heavy. It's solid. It looks good. Does it say where it's made? I'm just curious.
All it says is Royal.
Royal?
It says it's embossed on the back. Royal.
All right. Well, I have a Royal Eagle here.
You have a Royal Eagle. Not a Royal Arch Griffin, but a Royal Eagle. And you know what I like about this eagle? Can I just make a very random observation? Eagles have been much maligned because, like, they're used by fascists a lot. Have you ever noticed that?
Okay, yeah. A Stormfront person would certainly be a fan of eagles, I think.
Right? Yeah. Nazis.
Yeah.
That kind
there's
of thing.
There's something there.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing fascist about this eagle. This eagle's just like, I'm chilling.
Yeah, it's not carrying any sort of symbols or anything. It's just an eagle.
It's like, I could even be drunk. I mean, it's kind of like listing to the side of it.
It's coming down, though. It's got the talons out. I think it's got its eye on like a rabbit or something.
Or like a really tasty beverage.
Perhaps.
So this is, did you have many eagle paraphernalia?
I did. I had a few. Yeah, this is probably the better... Well, it might be the only surviving one.
Yeah,
because
again,
it's metal and it's solid.
If you're fucking metal, it's going to survive a hurricane.
Yeah, and we'll also be able to probably kill an intruder to your house if you need a weapon.
This could be added to my growing arsenal of weaponry found otherwise that are within the reaches of my bed area for home invasion.
Yeah. Yeah, keep going here. This is we can blast through some of this stuff.
Right, well, this is a quick one. So this I recognize because it was in the episode where we talked about the toys.
Yeah, this is a dumper unit. I don't know how else to call it. It's an attachment for the big track.
It's a dumper, right? Yeah.
And this is like it was lame as fuck, honestly.
It has wiring in it. I was looking at that. So there's wiring going. So I think it was. Doesn't feel like
no. The wheels. It's not motorized. It was an attachment you would put on the big track, which was the programmable tank thing.
Right, which was cool.
And this would plug in. You can see, obviously.
Right, I traced the wiring to that.
Yeah,
so I
get it plugs in, and it gives it the ability to carry and dump things.
So this does actually lift up? Oh, there it goes.
It does lift up.
Okay, so it does dump.
Yeah, it looks like that's broken, though.
It is. It is broken.
And it is totally broken.
The dumper part is broken.
Yeah.
There's a just a dangling doodad.
Yeah, but it was, honestly, when it worked, it was still lame as fuck. But it was the only attachment.
Yeah, but in the commercial, the kid gave his dad an apple.
He did. He did.
Which, if you listen to the podcast... Which is,
again... lame as fuck.
Okay, yeah, that is. Like, here's an apple, Dad. I'm so lame, I'm giving you fruits.
I don't even know what's in that box. That okay, I know what that is.
I had one of these.
It's a model,
it's
I think.
It's a model, yeah.
And...
it's a 9-volt.
It is a 9-volt. Let's see if it works.
Okay. Oh, man, I just broke your bay doors on this. So it's a space shuttle.
I don't think this breaks, because this is all snapped together.
It's a space shuttle.
Break me out a...
9-volt? On it.
9-volt.
So you had given me a heads up that we would need some batteries. If we have time at the end, I just want to put this in now. I would like to maybe talk about it follows a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm enjoying this. Okay, so...
I don't even know what's going to happen. I don't remember what this does.
Is this going to explode?
But there's... probably not.
It's Mike, I need to have at least one more child, and this is awfully close to my crotch. If this is going to, like, shoot shrapnel out, I need to fucking know now.
Yeah, I don't think it does that.
Okay.
Does it do anything at all?
As of right now, no. Are there buttons?
Probably not. It's probably just dead.
I don't know why it would be, unless the soldering came undone.
Yeah, it could have.
Wiring up there.
I think it either works or it doesn't. It looks like it doesn't.
Yeah, that's a letdown.
That's
it's a new battery.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm sorry, Smikey.
Soldering's probably... These are all jacked up.
Yeah, this thing looks like it was hit by a hurricane.
All right, let's take that battery out.
Okay.
Maybe we can put it to a better use. Why don't you do it?
Let me do it.
Yeah. two guys, one battery. Doesn't
really oh, no. Work.
I think it would like...
Ow, fuck.
What happened there? You cut your thumb on the battery?
No, on the battery on this thing right there.
All right. Do we even say what this is? It's a space shuttle.
It's the old-timey space shuttle that like every kid had in the 80s.
Yeah, it's like it's a snap-together model, I believe. Maybe this one's been glued a little bit. It's broke the fuck up because my parents didn't pack the things. So they didn't give a shit.
No, it's seen better days.
In the box.
But it has the bay doors that open.
This should really
the top.
This should be thrown away because it's garbage.
I would agree with that.
It has decals. It's black.
Yeah, what's up with
so
the
it's like
lightning
the
bolts?
Evil space shuttle.
And that why there's
it
bats
has
on
red
it?
Lightning bolts and bats.
But it came
the
with
wings.
The bats.
Yeah, it came with bats for the wings, and there's a bat head on the. On the front of the nose part, a bat head.
So this is very much one of those corporate decisions where it's like, you know what? Everyone's seen the white NASA space shuttle. We need a black shuttle, and what's going to make it more badass? We need bats.
I guess
not just
so.
Bats.
I think these
like
the engines
bats.
Would light up.
Yeah, they look like they did.
All right.
And there was something on the front, the cockpit.
Yeah, probably.
Too.
Again, it's fucked.
I'm going to put this in the dumper of
yes,
the big track.
That's a good place for it.
So we have no idea what's in the shoebox, right?
I don't know. I have not gone through this. I literally have not gone through this.
There's something stuff. Long. I feel like it's a model car or something.
Yeah, you're probably breaking it up. Oh, it's the old, a couple of the old Battlestar Galactica
Holy
toys.
Holy shit. These killed children.
These are the ones that were...
Oh my god, I'm holding a piece
were banned
of Battlestar history.
It has a bullet in it.
Whoa.
That yeah, that's a modular engine. That pops out, and you can switch it with other ones. So
that's
like
dumb.
This,
why would you do
this?
That?
This piece would snap. I'm gonna probably fucking break it.
I swear it snapped off. I don't think it snaps off, Smike. I think you're gonna break it. Is there a release on it?
Well, it should snap off.
Oh, I see the spring action. Oh man, why do you not have the fucking missiles?
This one has a missile though. It's got a missile right there.
Oh, there it is. Okay. So
okay.
Can, oh,
watch where you're aiming that thing. Boom!
Oh,
it shoots.
Still works.
Yeah.
These are from the 70s.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. This is exciting.
All right.
Can I shoot out of the other ones, though?
Probably.
Yeah.
They're all the same.
See, these springs aren't used as much.
You got to push it in further. There you go.
Bam. Bam. Wow. This is surreal.
It's got a little bit of force behind it.
Whoa. That's the... So the left barrel here is the one that...
Yeah, and there's one in this one, too. Just, that one. That spring's probably dead.
Whoa. Holy shit. Yeah, that's why I wanted to try. Shit, I lost it, dude.
Yeah, this spring is dead.
Can you look around your feet? I lost the missile.
All right, we'll find it.
Oh, there it is. It's under your chair.
Okay.
And then this is metal.
Yeah.
Sky Arrow 2.
That's also got a couple of missiles in it.
Whoa. Oh.
Yeah, there you go. Whoa. There's a piece missing from this. There's another piece that would go onto the front.
Okay.
This is an old Shogun Warriors toy, which is what we had before Transformers were invented.
Okay, so this isn't even a knockoff. This is straight up. Oh, and it also has missiles.
Yeah, which are probably, the springs are probably dead in those too.
Yeah. But I do like that the cockpit, like, pops back. Did this become the head or something?
Yeah, so the front part would pop off and be its own little shuttle thing, and this, okay, this piece flips down.
So, when I hear Shogun anything,
yeah,
I don't immediately think spaceship. Is that weird?
No.
Okay.
The Shogun Warriors were, it was a toy line. It was hugely popular, probably in Japan, and for nerdy kids in the U.S., certainly. and they had a bunch of, they were mainly like robot toys, but they had a vehicle line as well.
Right.
This one is like kind of falling apart.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The plastic bits are not holding up well.
No, the springs are really shot too. Oh, okay. I think.
Yeah. There you go.
Wow. That still has some force. Nice. The fan, I don't know what you call these. The things spin? That allow it to.
They should spin.
They don't spin.
Oh.
But there's covers that open up.
Okay, I'm thinking of another one that spins. Anyway,
whatever you would think.
Oh, it's kind of cool. I had a few of these things. No. They were fun.
That's cool.
Anything that shot missiles was awesome.
Oh shit, yeah. The deadlier the better. I'm gonna put this back in the shitty spring.
Yeah, put it in the save those two on the wings.
Yeah, the wings are the good springs. You want to save those? Is that the thing you kept talking
about? It is.
About?
That is.
Space the
legendary Starbird.
Starbird. Oh, if I could do the thing where the accelerometer worked, that would be phenomenal.
We can try that.
It's got your initials on it, written in masking tape.
Oh my God! Take that off.
No, leave it on. It's part of history. Jesus Christ! What are you doing?
It's destroying the resale value here. Okay. You can describe it.
So it's sort of phallic. There's a shaft in the middle. There's some wings on the back. There's a penis head in the front.
I need a fucking screwdriver for this.
Oh, right there. This is like a veritable smorgasbord of screwdrivers. If you listen to the toy episode, you probably were curious and ended up watching the YouTube videos of these that I was using for sound effects. But
oh my gosh, this is taking too long.
So many options for screwdrivers.
There are too many options.
But yeah, it's how do you describe the shape? It's
there we go.
I don't know. If you took a two-sided hammer and held like Thor's hammer, it's sort of if you hold it upside down, but then there's the head of the spaceship.
Give me that 9-volt. Where'd that 9-volt go?
9-volt is right here. Man, I hope it's not the 9-volt, but I think it's brand new.
And this is all.
So this is the toy with the accelerometer, which I'm really excited
about. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a good sound.
I'm afraid though because all the coat covering for this is gone. Let me just shut it off first. I don't think I can shut it off.
That's off. Oh shit, yeah, dude. Plug that shit in. Yeah.
We're not gonna be able to turn it off.
That's okay. We're gonna put that back on.
Okay.
So I'm pointing it up and it's climbing.
Yeah.
And then if I point it down...
Yeah, the accelerometer still works!
Whoa.
And hit the button, man. Hit the button.
Which button?
Right there. Oh! Yeah. It lights up still. That is the shit.
I'm going up! I'm going down! I'm shooting some motherfuckers! Dude, that is a satisfying laser blaster.
I'm telling you, right?
I'm not gonna lie. And this is the pod that comes off?
Yeah. There's some bits missing off of this. Now you just get up to me.
There's a hole I have to stick in.
That's fine. I think it's in.
Okay. That's pretty awesome, though.
It is pretty awesome.
I know what that sounds like on the microphone.
What?
And that's how Smike got electrocuted and died.
But yeah, I'm shocked that still works at all.
I'm shocked that you didn't get shocked. Wow.
Nice.
You're missing one of your sharklets.
Yeah, I know. They slide off.
Oh, out. Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to slide it back. Yeah.
There we go.
Damn. Wow, that's so funny.
That is pretty cool. I don't even know what this is. This is
Looks like definitely a sand sifter.
Probably.
It's a pink sand sifter.
Yeah, that file that in the garbage bin. All right. Here you go, Mike.
Whoa. Oh. Space. The final frontier.
These are the voyages
of the Starship Enterprise. This is dirty and lame as shit looking.
It wasn't always dirty.
So this is probably
of discoloration on this over the years, and it was definitely
played with. Is this even the Enterprise?
Yeah. No, okay, you're saying this doesn't look like the Enterprise because it's in the fucked up configuration right now.
Okay.
But...
Okay, you just killed like...
I just pulled 15 off the nacelles here.
Holy shit, that's not right. Ah, okay. Now it looks
and
like the Enterprise.
And there we go. Yeah. Does that look a little better?
That looks better.
Yeah. The are these the nacelles? Is that what am I using the proper terminology?
I was a Star Wars kid.
Okay.
Sorry.
I believe they're the nacelles.
I used up about all of them.
They can be pulled off and put in different positions.
Yeah. I knew that there were other ships other than the Enterprise.
Yeah, and this lets you like put a bunch of them together.
Bam. Now they're on the side.
Yeah, there you go. That looks kind of dorky, but I think there is actually like an official starship like that.
Did you ever read that? Did you ever read like what the history, the mythos of Star Trek is? It's really, really scary.
And what are you talking about?
Well, like, so Khan, right? Everyone knows Wrath of Khan. But do you know what Khan's purpose was? Why he was a superpowered like human?
I guess not. You're talking about the official...
Like the story of Star Trek.
Okay.
So Star Trek there was World War III, and there was... like a ton of horrific warfare, and it killed like 9/10 of the population of humanity. And then what was left, some of them had radiation poisoning, and it fucked up their genes. And so to survive, humanity had to kill all of the... Oh, that's even better. They had to hunt and kill all of the survivors of the war who were genetically tainted. And so Khan's purpose was to hunt these people down and murder them in cold blood. That is the story of Star Trek.
Well, yeah, in the very first episode of the Next Generation, they had a lot of like the backstory of like the darkest times of humanity or whatever.
Right, but it still gets glossed over, relatively speaking.
All right,
don't even bother closing that.
This also works.
Oh, but it's not an accelerometer.
Not an accelerometer, but
it sounded a lot like the other one.
It's similar. It's got a rotating switch. It's like an analog dial, I guess. And it's off, and then you turn it on. It's like you turn it on volume,
right?
And once the volume gets all the way up,
it starts shooting.
It starts shooting. And did it light up?
Yep.
Yeah, it still lights up. So again. Pretty cool.
Ooh.
This was what came out during the...
all the maple syrup was on the bottom.
Oh, ooh. That's dangerous.
Mm.
But this was the toy that came out for the very first Star Trek movie.
So this is a movie tie-in?
Yes.
And this is... Was that pre-Star Wars?
No.
Okay, oh, no. So they knew. They saw what happened with Star Wars.
Yeah.
The ridiculous amount of money that George Lucas made because no one thought the toys would be worth anything, and he got all the rights.
Yeah.
And then, that is a shitty looking toy.
It is.
I know it hasn't aged well, but there's
it's
not even...
It's not that bad.
Like, were there decals on it? Because
yeah, you can see they've come off. Okay. One of them just fell off.
Oh, okay. Because it looks
so,
like
yeah, it used to have the NCC, the 1701 right. or like, whatever.
And that's supposed to be the cockpit, right?
There were decals on it. It's seen better days. Bits of it are coming off.
I do like that the entire body and the head come off.
Yeah, and you can like see the glue now. The glue is discolored differently from the rest of it. But it still fucking works.
That's impressive.
And for something that... Oh, this
and it had a
like,
battery in it too, and that didn't corrode to the point where it destroyed
yeah.
the circuitry. That's pretty impressive.
Something that came out in what, like, probably 1980, I'm guessing?
This is 35 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
The fact that it works just as well right now.
punk archaeologist.
Pretty Mike. Impressive. We are punk archaeology.
Punk archaeologist.
Archaeology.
Archaeology. It's a verb.
Yeah.
I like and that then this you can, is like, wrapped yeah. in paper.
Snap that back together.
Should wrap it back up?
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, see, yeah, there's the...
there's the NCC 1701.
Yeah.
This is
so that's a good... That's a keeper.
A green metal car.
Uh-huh.
And it is completely frozen.
It's a toy.
It is stuck.
Yeah, this is one of those old mechanical... It's too bad. It'll turn a little bit. If this were working, is there... I can't tell if there's a slot for it. It's obviously got... It's got a gear thing here. And I think if you had the proper key, I guess, to put in it...
You could wind it up.
Yeah, you could wind it up. It's one of those things, did you ever see, maybe you never had one of these cars, where you like had a long kind of serrated key piece that you would work in there and then pull it out really fast.
No, we had something.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
I know what we had, which I think was the next generation of that, which was sort of a spring-loaded key, and you'd put it into the back of the car, and then you'd push the button, and that would shoot the car forward because it would wind up, it would like... create the tensile strength and then shoot it off.
Okay.
So it was kind of similar.
Yeah, but better.
But better. Because you'd have to wind it.
So yeah, that's what I think what this is based on the looks of
it. It's very green and shiny.
Don't really work anymore. It's
It's a Mercedes. Kind of,
yeah, it's got a Mercedes badge on it.
That is a 80s Mercedes.
Some sort of Mercedes race car. I don't know.
Look at this. If this got into a car accident, it would be fine because the car it hits would go up on the hood because it's so... It's like that Fast and the Furious thing.
Yeah, a Mercedes, but it's got a British flag on it. So, I don't know. Somebody was confused.
It's one of the big three British luxury makers.
And it says something American on the back
of
it.
Well, there's just different decals everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know. That might be cool. It doesn't work, but hey, whatever. Now, something that came out in the 80s was a little something called the Rubik's Cube. You may have heard of it.
This is not that.
This is, I think it was the same company. It's a Rubik's Star.
What is this doing?
What the hell? Yeah, careful, because you can only, yeah.
Oh, I hope
this one's easy to break.
Oh, man, yeah. Okay, there we go. Whoa.
This is also pretty lame.
Yeah, but I didn't expect the whole star shape. So it's like a Rubik's Cube
with star
inverted
shapes.
Or something. Yeah. And then it's star shapes instead.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, this is just... I like how it's Alexander's star. It's just a blatant... It's a person's name, apostrophe S to show ownership, the shape.
Yes.
And that's it.
It works, though.
It does.
Require battery. It still looks like a little stiff, but... It looks like... Hey, it still turns all right.
Always easy to break, though.
Yeah.
I was never good at Rubik's Cubes. This is a toy ladder.
That's from a fire truck, I believe.
That makes sense. We'll save that for later. I see, I think, the big track.
Yes. It looks like bits are coming off of it.
I don't know. Maybe that was something else. No, there's some in here, too. That's probably not good.
Yeah, this was actually I believe this is the tread that went around
tread,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, your tread's broke, bro.
So this isn't going to do much.
But the shocks are still working. Did you lose one of the decals too?
I don't know what this. This is from the Enterprise, I think. I think this is from a nacelle decal.
Okay. All right, hook me up with that 9-volt, bro.
Where'd it go? I think you got
right
it
here. I was talking to myself, Mike.
Yeah, it's not going to be able to do much without the rubberized bit. Okay. Yeah, it was just the rubberized tread went around the middle tire. As you can see, the front. And it's a six-wheeled vehicle.
But only the middle one.
Only the middle wheel actually does anything.
Is there an on button?
I don't know if we have enough batteries for this.
What? How many fucking batteries does it need?
These are... I brought a few, I think.
Double A's?
No, that's fucking D's. I only have a couple of D's. I don't have enough D's for this thing.
This thing's a D-bag.
Yeah, if we had a couple of extra D batteries, we might be able to get this.
I don't think I have any more.
So we'll save it for another time.
Wow.
But yeah, it's the big track. It was great. It was one of the first programmable toys out there.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, it's got a keyboard on it, a touch pad.
In, out, go, check, test, repeat.
Yeah, it was...
CLS, clear.
It was cool. It sounded great. Had a really nice loud blaster on it.
Because every toy in the 70s and 80s needed a blaster.
Yeah, so you know, you could program to go forward, to turn, to shoot, to pause. That doesn't do anything.
Oh, it looks guarantee like it does.
I know. It doesn't. Yeah, cool toy. It doesn't work right now. But it was a lot of fun. Oh, this is...
Wow. Oh, my God. Is this the size of Tinker Toys? I thought Tinker Toys were smaller. These are huge.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize that was at the bottom of this.
No, there's something else in here.
You know what? I'm going to leave those here for Simon.
That's,
yeah.
Are those,
like, what these are giant Tinker Toys.
Okay, yeah.
I don't even know if they still make those.
I doubt it.
I'm guessing not.
Wow.
But you know, obviously they're still gonna work because there's
yeah, because these are built like tanks because they're almost the size of an actual tank.
Yep.
I'm just gonna play with this as
yeah.
We unwrap this now.
Great for making makeshift weapons.
Yeah, I bet.
You make your swords out of this stuff.
Huh?
Maces, clubs, whatever you want. I think I made a house out of them. Okay, yeah. That's a nice dual-bladed something.
Dual-bladed stabber.
Yeah.
It's a dual-bladed handheld stabber.
But no, I am totally leaving those here for
yeah,
your son.
I'll wipe these down.
Because I have nothing to do with them right
with,
now.
You don't want to play with your giant, oversized Tinker Toys? You sure?
Yeah, some of them are kind of a little banged up because I probably got into fights with them. Not... I wasn't fighting them. Like a friend of and I would.
I hate your Tinker Toy. You're not my friend.
Although you could easily make a human-sized.
I was gonna say you could make a friend
thing out of this and get into a fight with it and lose.
You probably would lose. So Mike, was this all your friends were made out of giant?
Yes, Mike. This is a box of my friends.
Do I need to edit that out too?
Yes. Oh, some of this is just disintegrating.
Whoa, dude, I just vacuumed.
Okay, maybe you don't want to let Simon play with this stuff.
Mike, I think I'm going to let you take this home. Wow.
I think it was just like this one.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust the rest of it, though.
Because this one's
just
crumbling.
Mike picked up a plastic tube and squeezed it, and it literally disintegrated in his hand and sprayed him with plastic shards.
I think it's just the green one, though, because the rest of this stuff...
But have you seen what my son does with toys?
If you can just damage any of the other ones, then yeah. I'll
leave
that to you.
Before child safety was a thing, too, these things.
Okay.
You can leave them if you want. I'll take a look at them. But
yeah, I'll leave them. I'm not gonna
I may wait them. Like 5 years to let him have them, and then it'll be awesome for him, and he won't put them in his mouth. We have all one right. Last
paper
wrapped
thing. I know it's in
thing.
This. I do know it's in this. Now.
Yeah.
This is the original Colonial Viper model, which would have been nice, but it is broken.
This
possibly repairable.
Whatever it has erectile dysfunction. It's kind of sad when that happens with.
Yeah.
Is that a gun or is that like an antenna that's bent in the front?
I don't know. Depends on your imagination. It's one of those things. Oh, here's another one of the Battlestar Galactica toys.
That what? That wasn't.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
What is that?
It wasn't anything that was ever in existence.
It's a scarab?
Yeah, it's a wheeled vehicle. These things pop up. You can see, like, engine under it.
Okay, so here's my problem with this. So the engine, which fires backwards, raises up so that it would fire the vehicle directly into the ground.
Well, yeah. No, these are guns. These aren't engines.
What? It's in the back. It clearly propels it.
No, it has built-in engines to power the wheels. This is a weapon on the back.
All right.
It's a gun.
All right.
See, you can see that. Mike, get one of the bullets. You can
put
the bullet
I see.
Right in
okay,
there.
I see it. Okay, I got you, got you, got you.
And there hasn't been a bullet, so the springs are
probably
in
they
great
probably work,
fucking
yeah.
Shape. That thing's still solid. There's
yeah,
one in the front.
Did it come with little figures?
It did.
Oh, there we go. All right, should I choke on this?
Yeah. That's going to... Oh, my God.
It still shoots. It still shoots, folks. Yeah, I can safely say this did not exist in the newer TV show. What an impractical vehicle.
Yeah. And then these other bits in here, these might not be in too bad a shape, because these are snap-together models.
Star Cruiser
1, which doesn't really... They were just making up models that didn't have anything to do with anything back then. So this doesn't actually come from
anything.
Anything that comes off. A drop-off personnel carrier or some fucking thing.
What's this hexagonal engine?
This is just all in pieces.
It went to that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, this might not be so easy to put back together.
Oh, it's like Humpty Dumpty. The
pieces are just everywhere.
All of Smike's horses and all of Smike's men couldn't put Star Cruisers back again.
And there's a little shuttle piece that goes on to this. And this thing would go on to here. I will say this. These two models that are just completely destroyed now. They were really awesome for their time because they were modular.
Yeah,
this is again before we had Transformers.
Right.
And so like there was like the one ship was here and there's another ship that went on the front. It was a different one. But you basically got like four or five different toys out of one.
Right. It's smart.
I loved it.
It's economical.
That is scary though about the Tinker toy that just shattered.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking about that. You just squeezed it.
All right, let's get this out of the way here.
All right, yeah, we can box this up later. Wow.
So yeah, there's my fantastically dangerous childhood toy collection for you.
Well, thank you for that, because it is nice to put, you know, I've seen the commercials after we spent that episode, you know, talking about these toys, and I looked up the commercials on YouTube. It is funny to actually see them in person.
Yeah. Too bad everybody else is just not seeing them.
I mean, we could take some pictures, I guess, and make it
if you image. Want. They're in pretty rough shape, but that might make it all the better. Who knows?
I just want that picture.
Okay.
Of all the pieces you just were holding, actually, we should just get the Tinker toy in shards.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I mean, terrifying, but amazing. Toys, man. It's amazing what they didn't know would kill children back then.
You know, speaking of which, this is something that's been in the news. To go back to something topical now.
Oh, okay.
That apparently fire retardant stuff is terrible now.
Wasn't it just super cancerous?
Well, yeah, I guess that they're finding out more and more about that now.
Okay, I just always assumed.
So fire retardant furniture now is totally bad. You don't want fire retardant furniture.
The same stuff that they told you wanted.
Absolutely.
Like 10 years ago.
Yes.
Right.
And even before then, yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably even 5 years ago, for all I know.
You know, I think that the need for fire retardant many things has significantly been reduced by the move away from smoking cigarettes. Because I feel like that directly tied in with the need for fire retardant.
Yeah, I think you got a point there. I mean,
how many people fell asleep, would drink, or just passed out with a cigarette in their hand?
I mean, yes.
It was not. And
I guess in that point, yeah, something fire retardant, like a sofa.
Right.
That's not going to burst into flames and you drop a cigarette
on it. You get a hole in it and then that's about it.
Right.
Yeah.
But the deal now is if you actually have a fire that starts, the flame retardant stuff is just going to be
just releases terrible. Like a super cancerous stuff in the air.
Yes. The cancer rates for firemen is crazy high. Ugh. You I'm not making that up. You know, there have been recent articles about it.
Well, I mean, ever since 9/11, that's been something that's been a little bit more known.
Like, yes.
All that shit in the air that they're breathing. Like.
Yes. And I guess that now it's been, you know, there have been enough years since the fire retardant stuff has become prevalent.
That they've seen the correlation. That
they've seen the numbers just going up and up and up. But yeah, if you're a fireman, there's a good chance you're going to get cancer.
That sucks. My father-in-law was a construction worker for many years, and he had an asbestos removal company, a side company, and he had, at one point, he had throat cancer, I think.
Oh.
He got better, but and it's like, well, he removed asbestos, so no matter how many precautions you take, you're still dealing with a known carcinogen, you know.
Did he smoke, too, or?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So, no, he didn't smoke cigarettes. So, it's like mankind's really good at giving itself cancer. If you took away all of the shit that we made that gives us cancer, I wonder if cancer is really a thing that happens very often. Maybe it is. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I guess it depends.
It's an impossible question to answer.
I mean, yes.
It's a thought experiment.
Because you've got like the Tasmanian devils.
Wow, you're gonna you are A to D-ing right now, and I am not following the B and C there.
Yeah, well, you're talking about cancer in the wild.
Yes.
And
well, yeah, but there's an extra thing there. Go ahead.
Tasmanian Devils. But Tasmanian Devils, mm-hmm. the real things, not the Warner Brothers. Yeah, not that.
Right.
But the actual Tasmanian Devils in Australia or New Zealand, wherever it is, I don't know. Tasmania.
Yeah. Let's just say Tasmania.
Wherever the hell they are, somewhere down under area.
Oh, like crabs?
But they've been, I haven't checked up on this lately, but they were being wiped out.
By cancer?
By cancer.
That can't be natural.
It was something that it was created by a virus.
Mm.
So it was virally generated cancer.
So it was like causing genetic structure to break down and grow.
Yeah, basically.
Huh.
And they would, this is kind of horrible. It was transmitted mainly, I think, through saliva.
Oh, so the spitting is real.
Well, yeah, when two Tasmanian devils meet, they basically just fight.
All right.
And, like, just kind of bite each other.
And spits all over the place.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's just what they do. And
that's how they say hi, that's how they say bye.
It really is.
Wow.
And, you know, that was okay, because, you know, before they was like, bah, and then, like, you know, get out of their system, right, I guess. Right, like,
oh, hey, how you doing?
And like, oh, okay, this is your... All right, I get it. I'll stay over here. You stay over there.
Right.
We're cool.
Now I have cancer.
Now it's like, oh, thank you for giving me cancer on the face.
That's crazy.
And it's like, it's an awful cancer. It affects their face mainly, because that's where they're biting at each other.
So did someone fix it?
Not that I know of. So, we'll, you know, check up on that. But it was really, like, ruining the population.
I think the title of this podcast is going to be Tasmanian Devil Face Cancer. Wow, that's awful.
Yeah. It would be like, you know, huge growths, tumors. And they wouldn't be able to eat or see.
Aww. That's it.
Yeah, poor aggressive mangy things.
But
it's
so
sad.
It is sad. But
it's
terrible. So you can tie that to maybe natural, like through like an unfortunate genetic mutation of a virus.
Yes.
Causing it. It's related to complexity of the biological organism. I read an article on this, and I actually read it in its entirety a while back. But if you look at, like, blue whales, mm-hmm. like, that is the largest thing on the planet, I think.
I would think a lot of cancer.
Very little.
Really?
Because of these relative simplicity.
Even though they're a mammal.
They're large, and they are a mammal.
Yeah.
But they, in terms of the number of systems within the body...
Mm-hmm.
And organs and cellular mitosis that takes place, because ultimately, when you think about it, the human body, right, is new every 7 years. So that is a lot of cells changing in mm-hmm. through mitosis every 7 years. And,
okay.
and you can get genetic mutation, right? So you could theoretically get a malignant growth without outside help, just naturally through that.
Hmm.
So as I recall, it's been a couple of years since I read this article, but yeah, they were like, look at a blue whale and look at a human being. Human beings get cancer a lot more often than something that is a bajillion times, you know, larger than them, which I thought was interesting.
And from what I know, which isn't a lot, but it's, you know, a little more than average, snakes and reptiles, you don't see a lot of cancer there.
Are they, well, I don't know, it's hard to compare a snake to a human being. It's entirely different.
They're more basic. Animals.
Right. Yeah, yeah. There's not a lot of overlap in terms of complexity.
Yes. And I of course, this is terrible, terrible generalization. not too
first,
scientific.
Folks. Snakes and humans are not the same. Bam. Blew your mind.
Complexity is all relative.
But
we're
the
not
human body
on
is
genetics.
On an, in a biological, natural sense, it's very complicated.
Okay.
I mean, we have the whole systems in our body that don't really necessarily serve a specific like the fucking appendix.
Yeah,
it doesn't even do anything anymore.
What?
We've evolved out of using it. I mean, there's contention as to what it actually did.
Okay.
And now it's just a thing that can get.
No, I knew that was something that we believed in the past, but I thought more recent studies had been like, oh, it keeps all of our gut bacteria.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I'm probably based in the circa 1994 when I was in school. I guess in the 20 years intervening, they've learned something, but...
Yeah, for...
That's how
okay.
Houdini died, you know.
This is not where you want to go for your scientific information.
I think by episode 21, they know that by now. It's like, oh, Mike will
save. My understanding, though, is that it's like a safe pocket for gut bacteria.
You know what? That sounds like bullshit to me.
So that if something happens and you lose actual bacteria in your stomach.
I need gut bacteria stat.
Then you've got like backup gut bacteria in the appendix.
So what is it, like upend it and squeeze it in like a pan
yes.
pump?
Yes, Mike. That's exactly what it does.
Awesome.
And in that sense, no, it's not as useless as previously thought.
That might also explain why it gets infected and then bursts.
Yeah.
If there's a ton of gut bacteria in it.
Yes.
Well, that's what I get for not learning anything about it since high school. Man, they've learned a lot.
And dogs get cancer like nobody's business.
Yeah, but we
but humans have
the
yeah,
shit out of dogs and fucked with them so bad. It's just humans, man. Humans are cancer. So it follows.
Oh, we're going to get to it follows.
Yeah, I don't want to run too long. It's a couple minutes on this. I think
we watched this last night.
Yes, the four of us.
I highly recommend the movie.
By Stu and Colin.
Not just by Stu and Colin, but a very well-reviewed movie, honestly.
I take their, like, they are the penultimate horror movie aficionados that I know. So.
They are. But this is also a very well-reviewed movie.
It got
very
a lot of buzz.
Highly, yeah, a lot of buzz.
For a horror movie, that's rare.
Yeah.
For a no-name, yeah. Like, in terms of there was no one in it who you would be like, oh, that's the star of so-and-so. It's just it's
right.
a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Great premise.
Yes.
Great premise. Started out super strong.
Yes.
And I had never seen the trailer, but I was thinking about this. Erica said that the scene in the old rundown asylum when he is when she's in the wheelchair, like
mm-hmm.
that was, I guess, a major part of the trailer. Like, that is the only part of the whole movie that I was thinking about was, like, legitimately, like, ooh, that could give me chills.
Yeah.
You know? And then, but Ben establishes all the rules, and then...
Yeah, I don't know how much we want to say without...
I don't want to say much else. It's just...
Giving it away.
But the problem is that there's a lot of rules...
Yes. Given up front.
Given up front that no one should actually know. I was thinking a lot about this.
Right.
Especially since how he came across the whole thing. It doesn't actually, the way he describes it, it makes no sense that he knows everything. The lack of admitting that there's an internet in the movie, even though there is, because we know there is, but.
Well, we don't know that there is.
But there was the clamshell.
Oh my gosh. We can at least bring up the clamshell, because anybody who watches this, I think, is going to be fixated on the clamshell.
The internet is fixated on it.
And just to explain it, there is no actual clamshell device.
It doesn't exist in real life.
It doesn't exist
but
in real life.
But it says 3G on the screen. It said 3G.
Okay.
So there is a wireless internet in this world.
Yes.
Whatever that means.
It is a device that was invented...
Purely by the director.
For
and
the
it
movie.
Literally looks like a pink sea, like a clam out of a clamshell out of the sea, and it
yes.
opens and it's a two screen like a Nintendo DS e-reader.
Right.
Possibly.
Which may be what it is.
Yeah. But a lot of effort was put in by the director to not make anything easily placed in a certain time.
Yes.
So it felt very 80s. We noticed.
It did, but obviously it wasn't.
It wasn't. Because...
Which wasn't, that was clearly intentional.
But I think it backfired, and because we all spent so much time
like,
fixated
what,
on
it. What is this e-reader thing? Do they have this? Is it a new Kindle? I don't know.
Is this an Amazon thing?
Is that a Nook?
Nook. Yeah, and so, and it was, like I say, it was a strong start, great idea, but I think Quentin Tarantino said it best about this movie in an interview that Erica found last night, where he said, I really liked It Follows. It was decent, but it could have been great. And then when the interviewer says, why wasn't it great? And he said, because the writer-director established mythos that he didn't follow. And that's absolutely true. By the end of the movie, there are so many holes.
So too many things that...
Don't adhere to the rules of the world that are created in the movie.
Too many things, Mike, that didn't...
Follow. It Follows?
Yeah.
Didn't we make fun of Erica for doing that last time?
I don't know.
You're doing it intentionally. Shame! Shame. The Game of Thrones people get it. You don't. Shame.
Ow.
I think that I wanted to like the movie and I was let down. But I did think a lot about it.
Yeah, I did. I thought about
And I had one moment today. I was taking Simon for a walk right before I put him to bed to this evening. And I just, in the distance, someone was walking. And, mostly out of to entertain myself, because, he was kind of, chill and I wasn't doing anything. I was just, watching the person, they're too jaunty. If they were walking a little bit slower, I could almost convince myself it was an It Follows thing.
Yeah, and I think that's a good... that there are certainly qualities in the movie, positive qualities. It sticks with you, which is, I think, a good positive quality.
Yeah.
There were moments, not giving anything away, where we saw things and like, oh, this is obviously going to happen now, mm-hmm. and then something else happened.
Right.
I think it was good at several points in subverting expectations.
Expectation. Building, establishing, or leading you to an expectation and then subverting it.
Yes.
Which, it was, you could tell the guy who wrote it and directed it was smart, but he just wasn't aware of his own limitations in terms of the...
Yeah, and there was a lot of stuff that I described earlier as being clever for the sake of being clever.
Being clever, right, exactly. And that was the stuff that broke the mythology the most.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting for my perfect horror movie.
Okay.
I really do want Erica to see Paranormal Activity. I have not seen it.
Really?
Well, I know the twist is at the end, and I really want to know what that does to her.
Yeah.
But she's terrified of that movie.
Really?
Yeah, she will not watch it unless it's with a group of people. So we have to get like you and Mel and maybe even like...
I mean, we've seen it. I didn't, think that much of it. It's
well, it's like gimmicky, right?
It's a cheap,
right?
Gimmicky thing.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's been done like...
Because it is literally cheap and fantastically profitable.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you hide the strings well enough. And then also interesting enough is that the new M. Night Shyamalan movie is apparently pretty good. To the point where the Nerdist said, and I quote, the twist is this: you should actually see this movie. Which I thought was quite clever. See, It Follows with low expectations and you probably end up really liking it.
Possibly, yeah.
I think, or at least
I would recommend it. I would still recommend it.
As far as horror movies go, which, I mean, I've spent a long time with when Stu and Colin were on the podcast talking about how all the things I dislike about horror movies.
Yeah.
I think as far as horror movies go, it was pretty entertaining.
And honestly, I think if you're a little younger, it's probably even better.
If you're like 13, it's probably going to scare the shit out of you, and you're not going to admit it.
Well, even
16,
17. 20s to teens.
If you live in like a city where everyone walks.
Because this is what the characters are. The characters are young.
Yeah. High school,
maybe
early college. It was kind of hard to tell. Yeah.
And I think because of that, we're a little bit older than that. I think that was another thing kind of like.
We were missing that.
Yeah. Put a layer between us.
There was a lot of similarities that people on the internet drew between this and something. And Erica was just talking about this thing. It's going to bug the shit out of me. But there was a lot of.
It was like don't something.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Don't Look Now.
Okay.
Donald Sutherland. Set in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
But there was the ball motif and the water motif was there. There's a lot of stuff there that shared with this movie. And I didn't think that movie held up. I just really enjoyed it for Venice. Because it just made me remember my honeymoon. Because Venice was our favorite part of our honeymoon. Apparently at the time it was pretty shocking. I thought the twist was laughable. In Don't Look Now.
Okay.
But, so, we are buddies in space.
We are.
And you should know that Buddies in Space... Hey, Mike, did you know that Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment
production? I did know that.
You did?
Yeah.
Really? Well, prepare to be blown away, because I'm going to give you some instructions.
What?
You should visit StolenDress.com.
I will.
To check out other Stolen Dress podcasts.
I will.
Blogs.
Yes.
Tweets.
Sweet.
Videos.
Nice.
Books.
Awesome.
And now I'm going to cut in a promo for the Million McFly March.
What?
On October 21st, 2015, Stolen Dress Entertainment, in conjunction with Team Fox, brings you the Million McFly March. Fans of the Back to the Future franchise will gather, dressed as Marty McFly, to participate in the largest gathering of Marty McFlys in history and celebrate the Back to the Future films while also raising money for Parkinson's research through Team Fox. More details about the event, as well as links to donate and RSVP for the event, can be found at millionmcflymarch.com.
Didn't that sound awesome?
It sounds awesome.
We're raising money for Parkinson's. That's phenomenal. You should definitely pitch in. If you're not in California, you can host your own Million McFly March. Just visit StolenDress.com for more information. Yeah, I don't think you know anything about what I'm talking about right now. But
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you get the emails? Do you get Jason's emails?
Some of them. I've heard of this.
Okay.
Well, keep going.
Well, if you've heard of it.
I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, that's it. We're part of...
Or you're... However many gigawatts.
Gigawatts. 50 million gigawatts. That was a terrible Doc Brown. Apparently, there's a whole lot of really interesting stuff with Back to the Future in terms of when Marty... Doc Brown puts on a mind reading helmet. Do you remember that? And reads Marty's mind and then gets three things really wrong. But then he actually gets all three of them right. They're just really oblique.
I don't remember that.
It's one of those like really geeky, like, oh, it was really subtle. Okay. Kind of things. I don't know. Apparently that was a horrible production to be a part of. And have you ever talked to, he was the original Marty McFly. You ever hear about this?
Yeah.
The guy they fired.
Right.
Yeah. Apparently he has a very weird story about the whole thing. Like very creepy and disturbing and fucked up. But that's him to a T.
Go look that up.
So, if I don't cut all that, we are buddies in space. You are...
S. Michael Smith, and you, sir, are...
M. Michael Carassi. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for taking a walk down Smike's Hurricane Survival Memory Lane. Sorry we started out with morbidity.
Yeah.
People die. It happens.
And then we have exploding toys.
Exploding, disintegrating
exploding. Disintegrating toys. And exploding.
And with that, I bid you all adieu, and we are looking forward to several upcoming guest spots on our podcast.
Yeah.
By the time this airs, we may have already aired the other episode first. I'm not sure what the order is going to be, but we are excited to have a very good friend of ours and an improv auteur, who she is in about roughly 15 improv groups at any given time.
Yes.
Determined. That's probably being low-end.
Yes, that's a low estimate.
She's
very conservative.
Just seems to be in so many improv groups.
Yes.
But we're excited to either be having her soon,
mm-hmm.
or having already enjoyed her presence. Hey, lick this 9-volt battery.
Ah!
I can't believe you did that. I can't believe
you didn't do it.
Did you ever pee on an electric fence when you were a kid? In the Midwest? You must have, right?
I didn't, no.
But you knew kids who did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was always too scared to do that. I never licked it. Eat my brain.